Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. This is David's psalm of praise. It's the only one in the Bible that he specifically, the Holy Spirit's impression says, David's song of praise. Though all the psalms, all the scriptures really praise God, but this one is dedicated to praise God. Psalm 86 is a psalm David's prayer. We'll mention that in a little while because prayer and praise do go together. You can't have one without the other. But I'm going to read all 21 verses of Psalm 145. And I want you to pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten our hearts as we just see these words of praise and comfort, that we will be lifted up just like the larks, the birds in the field rise and they sing as they do. Verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another, and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty, and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand, and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh his holy name. Bless his holy name forever and ever. Now, what I hope is I don't mess this up with what I got to say, because the Lord has spoken here, and to praise God. And that's what I want to talk about today. I've entitled what I want to try to say, praise God. For that is the whole duty of man. That's where we're going to find our purpose. That's where we're going to find our joy and our strength and our happiness. And God is worthy to be praised. He is. And so as we look at this psalm and pray that God would bless us to praise him. That's why we're here today. It is. And if I'm able to say something from my heart that that you like and that you feel like God has blessed you, you don't have to praise me, because it's not me, it's God. And that's what we need to deal with. We need to see every reason to praise God every day of our lives. And it's not about singing a hymn or praying a certain prayer. It's not about ritual. It is about a relationship. I want you to know that you can only praise God if God is in your heart. An unbeliever has no capacity to praise God. You can't praise something you don't prize. You hear me? And so praising God is a response to the Holy Spirit and to what God has given you in eternal life. A person may say they praise God, but if we don't praise Him with our heart, we may still be a dead sinner. But a sinner that has been quickened by God's grace will praise God. David was a sinner that praised God. He was a sinner that knew God's redeeming hand of mercy. He knew what it felt like to be down and out. He knew what it felt like to have the burden of his sin and to hear the cool, fresh words from Nathan, "Thou hast also been forgiven." Now, when we look at this psalm, do you see anything in that psalm? I noticed this when I read it a while ago, about what David has that he's praising God for. I don't see anything here that David said, "God, I thank you that I don't have any problems today. I'm thankful, Lord, that I have a lot of money or I have been king." He don't say any of that. What he's thanking God's for, and that's praise in the capacity of it, is a thankful heart. It's an overflow. But I want us to understand as we go into this morning, and we don't have but a few minutes here now. Now listen, life is too short not to praise God. Now this little sermon, you might think about all you've got to do today. I don't know. But I want you to know this, there's nothing any more important for you to do or for me to do than praise God. In fact, if we're not going to praise God, no matter what we do, it's not going to amount to a hill of beans. It's not. We need to be more motivated by praising God than we are. See, you don't praise God by what you got in your cabinets. You don't praise God by what you got in the church or what you've read or what your Bible study said or where you've been. You praise God, and I praise God for who He is and what He has done. You understand that? Praise God for who He is and what He has done. That's what David's doing. You won't find the verse in these verses. All 21 of them testify of who God is and what He has done. I have said before, and I believe with all my heart, the most important thing about any person is what you think of God. And what you think of God, God reveals to you. Now the deal is, we're to grow in that grace and knowledge of God. And the more we know about God, the more we're going to praise Him. And what a blessing that is to rejoice in that. May God help us to praise Him. And may God be pleased with our praise here today. I want to say three things, though I'll have to admit. I was thinking this week when I started studying praising God. Now, how in the world is a little preacher like me going to get up before God's people and tell them about praising God? I mean, it's about like getting a cup of water from the ocean and bringing up here and say, "Look, this is what the ocean is like." It's not that easy. But what I pray that God would help us do is stir up a pure, more fervent praise to God by thinking of Him this morning as we come here in corporate worship to bless His holy name. What a blessing it is and what a joy it is that we can do this and ask God to help us praise His holy name. I want you to look at that very first verse in this Psalm 145, where David says, I will extol thee. Now, that word extol means praise with enthusiasm. It's not just going through the motions. See, enthusiasm, if you look that word up, you're going to see that it means God within. Have you got any God in you? Have you got any praise in you? You got to have it in both. You tell me this, and I'll try to tell it to you. You know it. If you can't find something to praise God for in everything, you just ain't looking. That's all it is to it. You just ain't looking. See, praising God is adoring Him in our thoughts. It's enthusiastically, what we need is more God in us. Our problem today is we don't have enough God. We don't have enough enthusiasm spiritually to live a life in a complete praiseful fashion. But we'd be better off having a mouth full of praise than we would lips full of complaining and grumbling. See, praise will do that. What we need to do is get involved in praising God. And you don't have to get churchy, or you don't have to say, you know what? I never have cared for these preachers too much that get up before people and say, now, amen, and want you to say it behind them. Maybe there's nothing wrong with it, but I always felt like I was a kind of parrot, you know, trying to repeat, amen. Everybody say amen. So I'm not up here today trying to get you to go around praising God. Praising, praise God, praise God. I'm not saying anything wrong with that. But I do believe that sometimes it's like saying, everybody said, you know, I love you. I mean, it can just be words. It's so common. And they don't really care a whole lot for you, but they will tell you they love you. There are people that'll go around praising God that don't really care a whole lot for Him. But they're trying to impress people, you see. We can do that. That's the human part of us. Preachers do that. I do that, and we ought not. See, praise to God really is the genuine litmus test, and I'm talking about when you really do it. Because when you do it, and when it shows, it's when you have nothing, and you can praise God. That is your testimony. When you can sit there, or stand there, or lay there, and take your pain, and take your loss, and take your hurt and say truthfully, you know what? I've got all this and Jesus too. And that is what praise is about. If you've never sung a song, if you've never preached a sermon, and your life is walking with God humbly, loving justice and mercy, you are living a life that is praising God. You are, and I want to commend you for it, because it comes from God, and that witness will go far as God expands His kingdom here on earth through your life. David says, I will extol thee, my God. So my first point is this. Praise God, praise God. Why should we praise God? One thing we need to be mindful of, and David shows us here, that praise to God is personal. It is personal. It is not a ritual. It's not. Praising God, and we call it church sometimes, praise services, but sometimes church services can be kind of vented toward praising people, you see. Too many churches have stages that kind of look like rock concerts. And people praise singers more than they praise God. You know what? You can praise a preacher more than you can praise God. Now, on the same token, on the other side of the fence, sometimes we get caught up in rigidism, or what I'm talking about, traditionalism. It's not necessarily that we sang three songs, the first two and last verses, and we preach a little bit and sang a song and go out. That's not it altogether it either. See, what it's about is having an enthusiastic, burning desire. See, praise is the overflow. When I pray the Holy Spirit will do to you and me this morning, when you're sitting there and I'm standing here, is to help us realize what God has done for us. Namely, that He has saved us by His grace. Namely, that He has climbed up on the cross and that He has died for our sins, all of them. And we are forgiven. Now, if that doesn't warm your hearts, you just hadn't been, I don't know what. You won't get there. But to know that, and know that you have no condemnation, that you and God are getting along because of Christ, then you know what? You praise Him. And you praise Him now. And you don't wait till tomorrow. You praise Him. And David says, I'm going to do it. Make up your mind to start praising God. If you don't praise God today, you have wasted today. And life is too precious to waste. Hey, by the way, God has already blessed us. I mean, from here to the back. Everyone and everybody watching, God has already blessed us. And if He never sent another blessing, did you know what? We all have more than we deserve. We all have a reason to praise Him. If God takes our life today, we can praise Him. We ought to, and thank God for it. What is so exciting, though, is to know that God always gives us something to praise Him for. Every time, every day, we can praise Him. David says, I will bless thy name forever and ever. David believed in eternal life. Else he wouldn't have talked about the eternity here. That's what ever and ever is. And he believed God was an eternal God. And then he says in verse 2, every day will I bless thee or praise thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. You see here, he's resolute. That's what you got to be with God. Now you might say, well, you know, I can praise God out on that boat on the river or in that golf course. I can praise God. And you can. But I'm going to tell you, you be careful with that. God, with Him, intensity matters. It does. It matters to you and me too. And God has called us to corporate worship, to praise Him, to praise Him. God has called us to gather in His holy name to praise Him. Not for a show, not to see how good we can do or be or perform, but to praise Him. If I don't say anything but praise God, praise God, that is enough. And we ought to go out of here thanking Him that He has given us an ear to hear and a heart to want to do it. Because it's got to come from God. It is. David says, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it every day. Every day we're going to praise Him. Not just the good days or the bad days. I remember years ago when I was living in my forestry life, one of the jobs I had would be to go around to the loggers when they were cutting timber tracks and check on their jobs. And one day down in Long County, Georgia, I drove up to the logging job. Now, you never know what you're going to hear from a logging crew. You don't. I mean, it's not a place probably for preachers. I don't know. But I went up there this day. I still remember that. And I pulled up to this logger, and it was on a Tuesday. And I was talking to him about how things were going, how many loads he was getting, and how the woods was holding up, and things like that. And so while we were talking, this guy pulls up kind of on the backside, and he comes kind of sneaking like, kind of like he didn't want this guy to see him, who was the boss in charge of the job. And he was trying to get up on his tractor, his log skid. But he got about halfway on that first step, and I remember the guy I was talking to him says, "James, come here." And so James came over, and he says, "Yes, sir?" He said, "Where were you yesterday?" And James said, "Well," said, "you know, Mr. I forget his name, said, I'm not much of a Monday man." That's what he told him. "I'm not much of a Monday man." Now, he tells the guy that he works for that. And I remember that guy looked at him, and he said a few words I can't say. He said, "I'm going to tell you what. I'm not much of a Tuesday man. Thing for you to do is get back in your truck and leave because you were fired." I remember the look on that guy's face. He looked shocked. But you know what? That guy had the right to do that. You know, sometimes praising God is like that. You know, I'll praise God on Sunday. But what you gonna do on Monday? You hear me? You see, sometimes we Christians can be Sunday Christians, even Sunday preachers, pulpit preachers. But what about when it comes to every day? David says, "I'm going to praise you every day." I want you to know that we praise God because He is an everyday God. Every day, you find a way to praise God. And if you don't praise Him, you say, "God, show me, forgive me, because I know it's there." Again, if you can't see anything to praise God for, you ain't looking. That's just the way it is. Now, God is not everything, but He is in everything. Romans 11, I think it's verse 36. "All things," God says, "are by me, and for me, and to me, and to me," or "to God be glorified forever and ever." It's personal, daily, and it's something that has love in it. It's something you want to do. Now listen, some of you guys can relate to this. When Penny and I have an anniversary, I'm not all that romantic. I wish I was more, but I'll take my wife out to eat. And I didn't even do it this year. Sometimes bring flowers, like on Valentine's Day. But I want you to think about it. So I do that, and you do that. So here's these beautiful flowers, Penny. And she would say, "Oh, Randy, thank you so much. You didn't have to do that." And then what if I said, "Well, it's my duty"? You ladies get that really quick, don't you? I'm not going to say it's my duty. What I'm going to say is, "I love you, and I wanted to do it. And I'd rather be sitting here in this restaurant with you eating this steak than I'd be with anybody else in my life." That's what you do when you praise God. Sure, it's a duty. But you do it because you delight in Him and you love Him. And that's why God has saved us by His grace, because you can't love God unless He first loved you. But you love Him back. And you love Him back with praise. And what a wonderful God we have. So worthy. Oh, the depths of His love. what he has done for us. It's unconditional love. He's never going to quit loving us. He's never. He loves us even when we sin against him. And he loves us too much to let us keep on doing it without convicting and chasing us. He does. Secondly, we're talking about praise. Not only is praise personal, but praise is powerful. You know, if you and I set our hearts to praising God, it will change our lives because it's transforming. That's what praise is. You really start praising God, you will see the power of God in a way you'll never see it before. You remember the story in the Bible. It's a true story of Paul and Silas in prison. That they were in jail, chained. And you know what they did? We find it in Acts 16. They started singing and praising God. Isn't that amazing? Did they feel like it? No. Don't wait till you feel like it to praise God. Don't wait till you feel like it to go to church. What I've found out is things I need to do that I don't feel like doing, once I get to doing them, my feelings catch up with my doing. And that's how praising God is. Well, these guys start praising God, and what happens? You know the story. The chains fall off. And they walk out. And the jailer is so astonished, he's worried about getting his head chopped off for letting them get out. And they said, wait a minute, don't worry, we're still here. And then the man says, what must I do to be saved? I mean, it's powerful when a man or a woman praises God in the midst of adverse circumstances. And I'm here to tell you, and I've had some little bit of experience, the very reason God sends trouble and trials in our life is to see if we're going to praise him or not. Because here's what's going to happen. Your problems are going to run you to God right in his arms, or you're going to run from him. See, what praise does, we're getting back to this point about being powerful, it brings God's presence. Not that he's not omnipresent, but I mean, you start praising God, you're going to have a presence of God, the intensity of it, him, increases. Okay? James, in his letter, James 4:8, says, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. All right, that's praise. That's how you draw near to God. You praise him. I mean, the birds do it every morning. They do. You know what? When I get up in the morning, I bet you kind of like this. What kind of habits creatures have? One of the first things I do is wash my face in the basin with water. Do you do that? I do. You know what? We need to wash our face every morning in praise to God. We need to get the sleep out of our eyes. I'm talking about open our eyes spiritually. Ask God to help us. And God, give us a sensitivity to living this life, not complaining or wondering if things were different, but praise God just like you got it. I remember a few in here know a guy by the name of Chris Mason. He had some struggles with drugs and addictions, and he was in the same recovery as my brother was going through, and Chris has come out of it, and God's using him to preach his word. And he was over here the other day at a Emmaus gathering. And he knows my brother, and he says to me, Randy, where's Ricky? I said, he's in jail. And Chris said, praise God. That's a different response, isn't it? But he was exactly right. See, he knew the benefit of that incarceration. He knew that sometimes you got to get to the bottom before you can get to the top. He knew the power of praising God. Because what happens when you praise God for His mercy, He prolongs it. When you praise God for your misery, you know what He does? He takes it away. Did you hear what it said? Praise God for your misery. Can you do it? Have you tried it? Have you tried to praise God for your problems? Try it. I tell you what, God likes it. He likes it. And what we need to be understanding, praising God, is doing what God likes, not what we like. What we find out in the power of praising God is that when we do what God likes, we end up liking it too. We end up understanding, but see, God knows what we need. See, what happens with when we praise God, we have joy. And joy is where we get our strength. See, we say we don't have joy. We walk around with the mully grubs, sad all the time. The real problem is we're not praising God. I remember my friend Bill Green came to a prayer meeting for rain. It hadn't rained in several weeks. It was crusty dry. You know what Bill said? He said, Randy, thank God for the dew. Thank Him for the dew. You understand that? Anybody catch that? D-E-W, dew. Well, I want it to rain, but God, thank You for the dew. That's how you need to praise God. God's not going to leave you hanging anywhere. Don't you think He is? He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. That ought to be enough. That's enough to praise Him for. Hey, God saved you. He chose you, and you didn't choose Him. He chose you. Praise Him for it, okay? God revealed Himself to us. We don't figure God out, but He's already figured us out. What He needs to know, He's praised. A believer that's born again ought to be a praising machine. That's all I know. That's all I want to know. It's powerful. How many in here pray every day? I mean, in some capacity, raise your hand. It's about everybody. All right, how many people in here praise God every day? Not near as many. See, that's the way it is. You're being honest. But you tell me, why would we pray to God, a God that we won't praise? You hear me? Now I know it's not going to probably go anywhere, but I asked Tamil to put in the bulletin a praise section in our bulletin. And I know I'm just like the rest of you. I don't want anybody to know my praises too much. It makes me look like I'm boasting in something. I don't see any on this. I mean, that's the way we are. Again, I'm not like the preacher that's trying to make everybody say amen. I'm not trying to make you just force you to praise God about something. I know it's there. I know you have lots of reasons to praise God, and I know you're praising God, but we don't think about it enough. And the truth is, we ought to write it down. What a wonderful God we have. That's what Paul and Silas were doing. Remember, they're praying and praising. It's like the oars on a boat. I mean, you got both of them to get you anywhere. God says in Psalm 50, verse 23, he says, whoso offers praise glorifies me. You know how you offer praise? You pray. He says in the 15th verse of that same psalm, He says, call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. See, because God knows when we pray and God delivers us, that's where He gets His glory. That's how we tell people about how good our God is. God does answer prayer. Now, you're talking about prayer being powerful? It is powerful. But you know why it's powerful? because the power is God's power, and that's to be praised. Because if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. And then lastly, not only is praise personal, praise is powerful, but did you know praise is purifying? It is. It purifies you. You want to get your priorities right in life? You want to have a pure worship? You make one that's pure, praising God and not man. That's what it is. It purifies you. It strains out this stuff in our life that don't make a whole lot of sense, that we think we got to have. I'd be willing to say you can use it as a filter in everything you and me do. We can say, well, what you're about to do, is this going to praise God? And it'll help you decide whether you need to do it or not. You hear me? Is it going to praise God? You keep it straight. It'll keep your life pure. Sin's not going to praise God. It's going to hurt him. And the deal is, it's going to hurt yourself. Praising God is always beneficial because it purifies us. And the deal is, we need to practice praising God, because you know what? Someday soon, we will be doing a lot of it. Do you know what heaven's about? You read the book of Revelations, you're going to find a lots of praising going on. Now, I'm not about to say that heaven's just about sitting in church all day listening to somebody like me. It's not. I'm glad. But I guarantee you, it's a life of praising God eternally without sin or sorrow and the inhibitions of this sin-cursed body that we still have to wear. It's not. It's purifying. You ever been to a doctor's office? And they have some Christian music playing. I mean, it kind of makes it feel better, doesn't it? I remember that. Brother Raven, I'm going to mention a name of a guy that I know you and your family miss. Stan Lee. Stan Lee. I remember Stan. I know y'all missed this guy. And I hesitate a minute, but I remember something that happened at his funeral. Some of y'all were there. His son Andy stood up on that stage over at Connections Church, and he gave as powerful eulogy I ever heard a man give about his daddy. I mean, about the things he wouldn't let him do. About a man that loved God, but it loved his family. It wasn't going to just give them anything they want. And in that song, in that testimony, it was talking about a father that loved his son. It was powerful. You'd had to been there. But if you were, it had to do something to you. I'll tell you, I don't know. I know if Philip's here, but Philip told me, I told Philip today, I said, Philip, wasn't that a wonderful service? He said, I'll tell you what I did. I went home and called my daddy. I went home and called my daddy. See, that's what purifying praise will do. It'll get you on your knees and make you talk to your Father in heaven. Because that's what prayer's about. Hallowed be thy name, the model prayer starts with. It got daily benefits to it, and daily blessings and forgiveness. But the culmination of it, it's hallowing God's name. You know how you do that? Praise Him. Praise Him. If you get off on anything without praising God, you're on the wrong foot. Sometimes I miss the button putting up my shirt. It never gets right till I unbutton it, get it straight. That's what we got to do. That's what praising God is about. It purifies us. I mean, that prodigal, I could go on, but it's time to go on. That prodigal, when he comes to himself, what happened? He praised his father. He says, I can go to my father. And it was purifying to him. He left that world, that sin and sorrow. And he said, I'm going. And I'm going to go as a servant. I don't want anything but to be with my Father. So many times we let things get in our way of praising God, because we worried about what people might think. I mean, even our life. Because see, what I'm talking about is your life. I'm not talking about how churchy you are, or how many mission trips you go on, or walk to Emmaus. What I'm talking about is living every day right where you're sitting and where we're going. Are we going to be praising God? Now the eunuch realized what God had done for him. That Ethiopian eunuch, I think that's in Acts 8. And so what he did was, he praised God by doing what God said do. He was baptized. And he responded, the Bible says he went away rejoicing. He's praising God. You want your joy back? You put God back on the throne where he needs to be, or where he always is, and you just don't realize. You understand he's in charge. Your every breath depends on him and mine. Our whole life he's planned out. He does. He knows everything. Let's have a prayer. Lord, thank you for allowing sinners like us to even attempt to praise you. Lord, that you'd have anything at all to do with us is beyond our comprehension, really. What good are we to you anyway, Lord, if we're not going to praise you? The thing is, Lord, you've equipped us to praise you, and if we don't do it, the rocks will. The birds do it every day, and the trees and the leaves and the blue sky and the moon and the stars. Lord, you created it all. You keep it going. You made the great sun and the universe. And you're so intricate, you painted the wings of a butterfly just for us. You made a tabernacle in the wilderness, and the first thing you did about praise was says, I want to dwell with you. You made a dwelling place. Oh Lord, that you would have to be with us. You sure don't need us, but we need you desperately. Help us to always praise you. Lord, help us to make it personal, because it is. Help us, Lord, to realize how powerful praising you is and what it does to us in our lives. But Lord, help us to realize it also purifies us. We read your word and it keeps a lot of sin out of our lives. We get on our knees, Lord, and we ask you to forgive us, and you do. May we not neglect to get up off our knees and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.